Jerry Umflett to come on up, and I've asked him to help lead our songs on Sunday morning. So he has been graciously said yes to that and prayed about it and said yes, and so we're thankful to have him be our song leader this morning. Come on up.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Good. We're going to start off this morning with one of the old hymns. If you turn in your blue book to page number 619. 619 in the blue book. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. And guess what you're going to have to do? Stand up.
Stand up. Thank you.
morning is going to stand up for Jesus. Let me hear from you.
Testimony. He's asking for a testimony.
Yes. Okay, good. Let's sing the third verse, and while we're singing that, be thinking about something that you would like to share with us this morning, a praise you'd like to give to the Lord, the stand that you would like to take. The third verse. Stand up, stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength and hold. The arm of flesh will fail you, we dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel. Says the armor of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Someone share an experience today with us of where you had to put your trust in the Lord and not count on your own thinking. Someone like to share that, ma'am?
When the Lord said, go to Jersey, we had to put our trust in Jersey from Virginia to New Jersey. Every day he says, you're supposed to be here. And I pray him for that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes.
It is amazing how he leads. Way back a long time ago, when he led me to Japan, it was almost unthinkable. It was seemingly humanly impossible. There was just no way. I was a relatively new Christian. I had no money. I had a little boy. I had nothing that would be the go-ahead to go, except the fact that Jesus called me to go. And once I got there, all those red lights that seemed to be saying, stay away. All those red lights turned green.
Yeah.
And the Lord blessed in
Amen.
Ways that are too numerous to tell at this time.
That's right. It's amazing how when the Lord speaks and directs you, how clear it is. You know that's what it is. Okay, let's sing the fourth verse.
Stand up, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle sonics the victor's song. To him that overcometh, the crown of life shall be. He with a king of glory shall reign eternally.
And as you continue to stand, if you turn over now in the blue book again, to page number 349. Everyone find your way there this morning? Some are still sleeping. 349, a new name written down in glory. Is your name written there? Do you know that your name is written there? And you should be excited to sing this with the strength that comes from your heart.
I was once a sinner, but I came hardened to receive from my Lord. This was freely given when I found that who has kept his word. There's a new name written down in glory. Yes, it's mine, and the wife will take to sleep the story. I'm
of you, all of you, said that your name was written down in glory. Tell me how, when your name got written down in glory. Someone like to share that testimony. It's nothing better than hearing how and when someone got saved.
August 2nd of 97, I was in a Bible camp, and I was raised in a Christian home, and my mom had told me that when I was at the young age of almost 4, that I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. However, I couldn't remember it, and I was going through the early, just beginning to become a teenager, and was wondering, well, what's this about conviction, and how come I don't feel convicted, and, you know, I want to relate with Christ, but I'm really not sure I'm connecting with all of this. And when I went to Bible camp, they were taking us children and young people through the Romans Road and through the gospel, and I was really convicted about my personal accountability that one day I had to give that testimony to my relationship to me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I got saved, and I asked the Lord to come in and save me, and
amen.
I got saved in the church, and the pastor, he's a friend of mine, but everybody gonna be, we don't know when we might go to heaven. God got angels watching over us, and you know something? The teacher never told me how to read, so the pastor showed me how. You know something? It's going to make a way for me. It's going to take time. But you know something? I thank God for myself. But, you know, I thank God for everybody.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. One more. Okay, we're gonna take one more exception, Patty. We're going to sing the fourth verse now, and when we sing that, it says, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Oh, let's sing it with the joy that comes to our soul when Jesus saved us.
In the book is written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that comes to my soul.
Turn to Psalms number 81. Psalms 81, I'm going to ask Pastor Logan to read for us this morning. He'll be preaching tonight, so we look forward to having Pastor Logan. He wasn't able to preach last Sunday for Vision Sunday, so we're extending Vision Sunday to tonight as well. Having 2020 vision for what God wants for us for the new year, so come on back tonight as we hear good preaching from Pastor Logan at 7 o'clock to 8:05, 8:10 p.m. tonight. Psalm number 80, and where did we leave off? I think we did the first 12 verses, and then the first 10 verses, and we'll go Psalm 80, And we'll start at verse 10 through 19. Psalm 80, 10 through 19.
Good morning. How are you this morning? I see some smiles out there. That's important. You know, science tells us that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So smile more. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Are we still looking for it? Psalms 80, beginning with verse 10, I believe. Is that right? Verse 10, okay. I can count to 10. Kind of get bogged down after I get to 10, but I think most of you can count to 10, right? Amen. Oh, praise God for you this morning. This is a good day, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God. I see some pages still turning, so we'll wait a little while. We welcome Pastor back from the Holy Land, his family. We Virginians know that's the Holy Land.
Amen.
All right, chapter. Well, we don't say chapter with psalm. We say song 81, right? And begin. So I'm wrong again. Song 80. I gotta start all over again. I'm so excited because the pastor's back. I can't keep my attention. Man, straight. See, he went to the Holy Land. I talked about it so much. He had to go and find out for himself. Song 80, beginning with verse 10. Okay, I'm gonna read the first verse. And I'll ask you to read the second and so on, all right? The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine.
And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself.
It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance.
Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong.
So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Altogether, turn us again, O Lord, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. To those that are familiar with song, the writer is talking about the nation of Israel. Amen? And God bless you.
It was truly a blessing to go to Virginia.
Holy Land.
We passed Newport News, we passed Charlottesville, we passed all the different places where some have been here or have lived at different times, and just a beautiful area. We went to Jamestown, the old settlement. We went to Yorktown, where they won the Revolutionary War. We got to see some beautiful sights there. We went into the village where they lived, 1606, 1607. Very, very eye-opening things they had to go through. The first couple years, 60-some people died out of the 100, and very, very hard conditions to come to a new land and to settle in it. But they kept persevering. When Christianity and the Bible was lifted up, then they were blessed. And then when certain ones started going against the Bible, then they were not as blessed. So we just see, sure enough, if you look through history, you can see the hand of God upon it all, the providence of God, and you can see where they rebelled against God, they were cursed, and where they started coming back to the precepts and the principles of the Word of God, then they were blessed again. So we see that God has His hand in everything. And the devil tries to always, at every turn, tries to destroy us. And you can see that as well in the history. So we're thankful. My wife and I and the kids, we had a good time in Virginia this week, having a lot of history lessons and seeing the different things of the past. Let us go to our bulletin at this time. It's anyone need a bulletin, we'll be happy to go. We'll be happy to get one to you. Does anyone need a bulletin? It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ is the only one who can strengthen us. If you need one, just raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. I'll take one up here as well, James. Good to have some visitors with us again, and return visitors. We are glad that you are here with us, and we are thankful that God is blessing each one of us as we live for Him, that we can do all things through Christ. He is the great provider. He is the great deliverer. He is the great healer. We took off the Christmas banner, and we put back on the Names of God banner. So whatever your need is this morning, all of us have one of those needs. We need to be delivered, or we need to be healed, or we need to be provided for, or we just need to come back to God because sin is just destroying us in our life. Well, God is every one of those. He is the deliverer from all the above. And He is the one who can get us back on track. So that's why we're here, to worship Him, our great God. Just by way of announcements, on the left-hand page, we want to, let's say our January memory verse, 1 Corinthians 6:12, right on the left-hand side of the bulletin, right near the bottom. That is our memory verse for this month. In two more weeks, we're going to say this verse, seek to say it from memory, give an opportunity for anyone who would like to do that, to say it from memory. So it's a good opportunity to learn Scripture. Let's say it together. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. 1 Corinthians 6:12. That as Christians, all things, God made this whole world for us to enjoy and to take advantage of, and as far as enjoy the things in it. But you know what? All things are maybe lawful for me to do, not, of course, sinful things, but all things in life. You know, we can go out and partake in, go for a walk, or we can do this and that and the other thing. But all things are not expedient. They're not the best. All things are lawful for me. They're unto me lawful, but they're also for me lawful. But I will not be brought under the power of any. So even... going for a walk all the time, that's a wonderful thing to do. And perhaps we need to take more of those. But you know what? What if someone gets addicted to, say, just leaving their house, avoiding responsibilities, just going out on walks, okay? Then a walk doesn't become expedient anymore. Then it becomes something that they're just escaping reality, escaping the family, escaping life in general. Okay, so just because things are lawful unto us and for us, here Paul reminds us of this principle, I will not be brought under the power of any. That I'm going to do what's right to please God, and I will not be brought under any addiction or anything that will control me, or a habit that will control me, that will bring me under sin. And a great principle, that's one of our principles for 2020. Then pray for Grant Anderson, Terry's dad. We got a call as we were coming back on Friday, and her dad said that his oldest brother, Arvin, passed away that day. He had complications from cancer, but we praise the Lord that Terry's uncle Arvin did know the Lord as his Savior. So we praise the Lord with the family that he is home with the Lord. Then also pray for Maisie Sklodonik. She's having a biopsy done for cancer this Tuesday. So pray for her. Then pray for Tommy Demetrio, who had the seizures after he fell a couple weeks ago. Pray for him as well. Then also pray for the Dominique's family in the loss of her grandfather, that we praise the Lord. He as well knew the Lord as his Savior. Pray for Fazilette and the others as they plan the funeral and plan the arrangements. Then also pray for Patty. We thank the Lord that Patty's back with us today. We praise the Lord that she's feeling better. Pray that now they're seeking to do a different chemo treatment. Pray that they will find one that her body will not react with. Then also pray for Renee Wilkes. She had another heart attack this week, so she's not doing well. She was in our church for a while, a few years back, and that's when she lived with Brian and Cheryl. Now she's down in Florida. So let's pray for Renee in this time of need in their life, in her life, and praise the Lord as well. She does know the Lord as her Savior. Then on the right-hand page, come on out tonight for our evening service where Pastor Logan will be preaching that vision for 2020. And then this morning's message, how to live consistently as a younger woman in this world that we live in. Challenging world, but God, our great God gives us what we need to live successfully. And then pray for our teens. They will be going away this weekend. If you would like to go to the winter retreat, it's open to all 7th through 12th graders. So all teens, please let me know today if you're planning on coming, so that way I can plan the car trip, getting you there and back as well. So we look forward. We have, I think, 3 going already, and we're looking forward to adding a few more. Then on the back page at the end of the month, we have our 2 weeks from today. We have our annual church business meeting. That's when we get a lot of things done in the church, right after our luncheon. And we elect officers for the year, as well as read the reports and et cetera, make decisions for the new year. Then on February 9th, we're going to have our 26th church anniversary with Pastor Mel Hall. He will be coming, and he and his wife will be coming. And Carol, I believe it's going to be at Sal's Coal Fired Pizza Restaurant in Summers Point. Is that correct?
That's what we talked about. Nothing was written in stone yet.
Okay. They have a banquet room off to the side that will fit, hopefully, our whole church. And so we'll be looking at trying a new place this year. So be in prayer about that with us as we seek to celebrate our anniversary as a church. And we'll have no evening service that day. We'll have a joint afternoon service with Pastor Hall and his wife. Looking forward to that. And then the Moms in Need room, the clothing help closet is fully arranged, as well as food donations. So if you have a need, please see Mrs. Carrie Rice, Mrs. Esther Hodge, or Miss Dominique March, and they will be happy to help you with any needs that you might have. And we're thankful for these ministries that the Lord has put in our hands this past year, and we're so thankful, and we want to be good stewards of them. So if you have a need, please let them know, any of those ladies know. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. Does anyone else have an announcement that needs to be made, a church announcement that needs to be made? Yes, Carol. All right, let's pray for Tony Yoder. Let us, as we give to the Lord, God says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." Jesus said, "Let us give to Him." Let us pray.
Father, we give you thanks for this day that you have made, Lord, and we thank you for your many, many blessings. Lord, we ask you to bless the time of giving. We give back to you, Lord, a portion of that which you have given to us. And Lord, we just ask you to bless and give you the gift and the giver. And to you, Lord, we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
there's nothing better that I could say to you this morning for your daily lives and your daily walk than the name of this next song that we're going to be singing. That is, Keep Walking with the Lord. Especially young people, don't get discouraged. Don't ever give up. Just keep pushing forward, trusting God, keep walking with Him, and you'll be happy, and it'll pay dividends in your later life. If you turn in the red book, please, in the red book to number 297. And I'll have you stand one more time. In the red book, 297. All of you have a red book. Find a book. Okay, 297 in the red book. Jesus wants to keep us in His care. Everywhere we go,
if you try.
We found a new hymn book at a Baptist church on Wednesday night we went to. Just goes to show, don't skip church. And the pastor, he and I talked for a while afterward, and he said, oh, you can have it. Well, you know, go ahead, take it. It's yours, and we're glad to be a blessing to you. So we have a new choir hymn book. It's called Bible Truth Hymns, and it has a lot of the good old-fashioned choruses and some newer songs in here. So it's just a really beautiful hymn book. And we really enjoyed our time with Maranatha Baptist Church there in Yorktown, Virginia. The rest of us, let's turn our Bibles as we dismiss the kids of 6th grade and younger to go for junior youth church and then toddler church and nursery at this time. Let's turn our Bibles to Titus chapter 2. We're looking at a very important topic in today's day and age, how to live as whatever generation you are, whatever age you are, God addresses all ages. Whatever situation you're in, God addresses all situations. Well, this morning we're looking at how ought younger women to live as Paul gives Titus some instructions to teach older women, younger men, and older men. So there's instructions for all of us here in Titus chapter 2. And I believe some things that we all can take. You say, well, I'm a man, this doesn't apply to me. No, it applies to all of us. Because how we respond to the fairer gender that God has made is very important. How we respond to them, how we communicate with them, how we treat them. And so there's a lot for men to learn in this message as well as women. And so we need to all be reminded of these things. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning to look into your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That we desperately need your word in these dark days that we live, and that when the world is shunning you and shunning your word and trying to kick it out of society altogether, we know that will never fully happen, because we know that your word will stand forever. And though they may hate what it says, that they may hate that sin has its curse, and sin will bring punishment, that though they hate that message, that they as well see that it is the light that gets them out of their sin. Lord, we pray that you'd help people every day, that you would open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, and help use us so that they can see that there is a real God, and that he loves them, and that he created them, and that he wants a relationship with them. through his son Jesus Christ. We thank you for such a message that we have to bear every day. We pray you'd bless now this time in your word. You'd help us to be challenged by it. Fill me with thy spirit, that I may speak forth thy truth. And fill each one of us with your spirit, that we may desire to be spirit-filled Christians in 2020. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Logan reminded me of this earlier in the service. He said, they said this on the news, perhaps you've already caught it, but for those that have not caught it, some important words. Okay, when you sign your checks, how many still use checks? Okay, many don't, but especially the younger generation, but many do. When you sign your check, okay, January 12th, what should you put for the year? January 12th, okay, don't just put 20. Why? Because it opens up for identity thieves to then just put on there, let's make this 2019, and we're going to take this money out. Or let's put on here 2018. And they can pretty much fill in the blank with whatever you have put on your check. They'll try to anyway, and it will serve them to change the year for whatever reason. So always put the full, don't do it that way, you'll be back in the 2000s. Always put the full year when signing anything, that way no one can change what you have written or try to use it against you or say, oh no, you did not pay because the year for that check was 2019. Well, they can't do that if you put the full year there. Okay, so that's just a little tidbit that we learned by watching information. Okay, Titus 2 and verse 4. Titus 2 and verse 4. And we do have a handout for the handout. Good to have Julian with us. Good to have Justino with us. And Kathy and Angel, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we're glad that you are here with us this morning. And the blessing to be saved, to know that you're on your way to heaven, not through any good works that we have done, but through Jesus Christ and his shed blood as our Savior. Rejoice with each one that has trusted Christ as Savior. We know the joy now. We have Jesus in our heart. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. So it's a blessing. So back in December, December 8th, we looked at, that's when we stopped this study for Christmas, and we took a few weeks off for Christmas. Now we're starting back on this study. We looked last time at the older women, how to grow as an older woman who is a Christian. Okay, and so here is an injunction that young adults need to know their roles in life. They need to know what is expected of them, especially by God. It is important for them to receive specific guidance from those they trust and value. Young women need to learn basic life skills that include how to be a Christian woman in a corrupt society, how to be a good wife, and how to be a good mother. Middle adults need to accept further guidance from older and more experienced believers, while at the same time offering spiritual support and direction to those who are younger. Middle adult women need to model godly behavior for younger women, but continue to be mentored by older godly women as well. And older adults need to actively involve themselves in the spiritual mentoring process and continue to take spiritual leadership roles. Older women can maintain their significant usefulness by spiritually discipling younger women and counseling them when necessary. Okay, I really like the student needs section. That's important that we all remember, okay, whatever group you fit into, we all have a job to do. That the leaders of the church should be the older, more mature Christians. So that's society today says, oh, if you're older, you need to hang it up and retire. No, that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says, no, now we need you more than ever to be that that true Christian and that light and that discipler. And so the world only at times values youth. And then when youth do stupid things, then they value the older adults. Don't you see how the world always is going back and forth as a pendulum swing? Why? Because they don't know what they're after. The world, the unsaved world, is always trying to say, yes, this is wisdom. No, no, never mind. This is wisdom. Oh, wait, no, no, never mind. No, this is wisdom. And then they scorn and mock the Vice President Pence for having a rule that he will not go out with any woman besides his wife for dinner. And they scorned and mocked him to no end. And they tried to make him the laughingstock. Of course, he just, you know, said, you know what, I'm not listening. I'm following the Bible. Well, then, when now all these scandals broke out that, oh no, all these men were going with women that were not their wives and then abusing them and doing this and misusing them and doing inappropriate things. Now all these scandals break out. Now all of a sudden, what does he look like? Doesn't look very unwise anymore. He looks very wise. You know, he didn't go out with any woman alone that was not his wife on a date or on a dinner function or some function. Well, that's guarding our testimony. And that's what we need to do in life. We need to guard our testimony because the devil, as a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so here, younger women. How ought younger women to live? Well, let us look in Titus 2 and verse 4. Let's read it together. Let's read verse 3. A reminder for the ladies who we talked to last time. Verse 3, let's read it together. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then young men, we're going to look at next week as well. Okay, so this is a very confused world in which we live, especially when, you know, the schools are now, I think Egg Harbor Township just put it in that this year they're putting in the full LGBTQ agenda into the public school. So they're teaching that in the classroom. And then other school systems here in New Jersey are also putting in, you know, things about, you know, you can pick your gender and all these things. You say, what kind of world are we now living in? Well, we're living in a world that's very confused. They don't even know science. Okay? What kind of chromosomes? Everyone has 23 chromosomes, right? And one of your chromosomes determines your gender, correct? Okay, what is that chromosome that determines our gender? Very good. What was that, Zamora? X or Y, okay? What's X? Anybody know? What's that? Boy. If you have the X chromosome, you're a boy. And you're made with, God made you then with male parts. If you're Y, you're a female, okay? This should not be hard for us in 2020 to understand how God biologically made us. But yet, you know what? It's becoming more and more confused. But that's because the devil is trying to constantly twist what God made in creation way back in the Garden of Eden. He's trying to twist it. He's trying to suit it for his purposes. What is the devil's agenda? To confuse, then divide, then conquer. Okay, he wants to destroy America from within. Yeah, I don't. Right now, we're in a bit of tension with Iran, and just this week they let an airplane go, I believe, out of their own airport. Am I correct in that? It came out of Tehran, which is that the capital city of Iran? The Ukrainian airline comes, you know, they let it go, you know, it's a passenger plane, they filled it up with passengers, Canadians were on the plane, a lot of other countries on this plane. It goes out of their airport, and then Iran somebody behind the missile desk then ends up thinking it's an enemy and shoots it down. Okay? That's what you, and 186 people lost their lives. What kind of world is this? Well, this is a world in which the devil, as a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. Right. He's trying to cut people's lives short as much as possible. Why? So they never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they don't ever hear that they're a sinner. They don't ever hear that Jesus died on the cross to save them from their sins, and that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and He loves them, and He shed His blood for them, and then He rose again for their sins. See, the devil is trying to snuff people out before they hear that. But thankfully, this week we know of two funerals that are going to be happening this week, and thankfully both of those people that we knew Christ as their Savior. That at some point in their life they had realized they were a sinner. They broke God's law, and that they said, Lord, if I keep being proud and thinking I'm going to work my way to heaven, it's not going to work, and I'm going to die in my sins and go to the devil's hell. I don't want that. Jesus, I know You died on the cross for me. I'm sorry. Please save me from my sins. And they humbled themselves and trusted Christ as Savior, both Brother Arvin and Brother Rudolph. And so they know they're going, that now we know they're with the Lord right now. As soon as we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul said, so guess what? We don't have to worry. When we die, if you know Christ as Savior, you're going right up. Your soul will go right up to the Lord. The real you is your soul. We'll go right up to be with the Lord. And then our body will, our shell, our outer shell will get placed in the ground. And then one day, at the rapture day, the resurrection day, that our outer shell will be put together again into a glorified body to be reunited with our soul up in heaven. And we'll have a glorified body. Not a corruptible body anymore, but an incorruptible body. And so we look forward to that day. But in the meantime, we live in this world, which is decaying, which is we look through many different civilizations in history. The Roman Empire, so powerful, lasted for 1,000 years. But then, around 400... A.D., it became so corrupt, so sinful, so debauched, that it died and decayed from within, from its own sinful, the sin destroyed the Roman Empire. Think of all the other ancient civilizations that were so powerful. Every one of them was destroyed from within by sin. And so we see here in America, the same thing is happening. It's not that we're less affluent, you know, there are more jobs now than ever, but literally, with all the jobs, we're decaying from within because of sin. And so we see our real enemy is not an outward enemy most of the time, it's the inward enemy, which is our own selfish human nature. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Okay, let's look at this. Younger women are to be sober, steady, balanced, temperate. The sober individual is one who sees things wisely, realistically, just as they really are. Okay, let's look at the pendulum swing, which unfortunately many people who are not saved often fall prey to. Okay, there's on this side, the pessimists. And then on this side, the idealists. What does the pessimist think of themselves? A young woman who may be a pessimist, on the pessimist side. What does she think of herself? Not good enough. Okay, not good enough. What else?
Selfish.
Okay. Perhaps selfish. Yes, they're selfish by thinking no one likes me. Okay, not accepted. What else? Insecure. What else? Okay, that's the pessimist side. At times, the young ladies especially will feel unable to cope, and they'll think very much on that side. And then on the other side, they'll at times feel like the idealist, who is what? What is the idealist mindset of a young person? Okay, they think they can do everything. Popular, well-liked, and they're very confident. So confident, they're brash and sinful. Okay, look at some of the music artists, movie stars. Okay, you'll see the idealists. Okay, they're very in your face. Okay, and they think they can do everything. Okay, but you know what? The scripture doesn't say that you don't have to be brash and sinful as an idealist. I should take that off. We're just looking at equality. Okay, that young ladies can go back and forth, and at times one day they wake up, oh, I don't feel good enough, no one likes me, and I'm not popular, and I'm not accepted. Then the other day, people are appreciating what they've done, and their contribution to society, and they're helping them with something, and they feel very, very well loved, and very confident. But here, God, and they feel very proud. This is the other side, they feel proud, okay? But what does God want us to look at ourselves as? Okay, not either one of those two, but to have a balanced perspective. That is the word sober. That means to not look at yourself as so gifted that you're going to save the world, because that's not reality. But not as so unimportant that you can't do a thing. Okay, the Bible wants us to have a balanced, sober perspective. That we can do all, I can do all things, let's say it together, our memory verse from our bulletin, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That we can do everything God has wants us to do today. Why? Because we can do it in His strength. And we can be that sober young lady, okay, younger women. Now, at this time, if we look back at the first century, while the Bible does address singlehood, especially in 1 Corinthians, it's mentioned a lot of times, the emphasis in this passage is not on the single woman. Certainly, the majority of women were married at the time Paul wrote to Titus. As we know historically, marriage was, it was a institution that was, for the most part, respected. The women who were not married normally lived in the home of their father and the family. That's the single women. A young woman who was unable to do that sometimes had no choice but to become a slave. Supporting oneself as a young single woman in that day proved extremely difficult. That's why they lived in their parents' home until they married. And if they didn't ever marry, they would just stay there for life. Unbelieving single women sometimes resorted to prostitution. Since an unmarried young woman was the exception, not the rule, this passage to young women in general addresses them as if they were married. Okay, so here we see younger women are to love their husbands. The next thing, they're to be sober, to love their husbands. This word in the Greek refers to the word philadelphos, which means, and then you put philadelphos along with gyne, which is husband, and you have the husband lover. That literally, that younger women are to not just agape their husband or have unconditional, selfish, selfless love, and not to have erotic love for their husband, because that's a given, but to have philadelphos, brotherly love for their husband. Here Paul instructs Titus to say, you know what, teach those younger women to have a brotherly love of their husband, a love that wants to be with them, that wants to have a friendship with them, that cultivates a meaningful relationship. That's what our younger women need. They need to have that foundation of a Christian home with a friendship with their husband. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not in that situation. I wish I was, but I'm not. Well, then God wants you to have meaningful relationships outside of the home. To have meaningful Christian relationships inside the home. Cultivate a godly, brotherly love with your mother, so that you can communicate well with your mother. Communicate well with your children, which is coming to the next point. Communicate in that friendship term with other Christians to fill that need that you might have in your life. That we need to have or to love our and have meaningful relationships. Okay, so to love their husbands and to seek out the best. And if you say, well, I failed at that, you know, what do I do? Well, keep on going. We can't see the past is not the present. The past we can't control, but we can control the present. The present God wants us to control. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. See, the devil wants us to constantly get thrown back to our past and then to beat ourselves up over it and then to think we're worthless because of it and then to have a big pity party and live in misery the rest of our life. However, that's the Bible gives us the antidote to that, which is in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That when you feel like that, that's not the right attitude to have. That's the devil's attitude that he wants you to have. But God is going to give you another attitude. An attitude of, hey, I'm your best friend, Jesus said. Hey, you may have men in your life that disappointed you, or a man in your life that went out on you, or a man that just is not nice to you, but Jesus says, I am your very best friend. God the Father says, I am your husband, your maker. Jesus says, I will step in and I will be your husband. I will be that man that you need in your life to support you, to emotionally support you, physically support you, spiritually support you, and mentally support you. You say, how can Jesus do all that? He can. If you will just simply pick up the pages of Scripture, Jesus will give you all the above. Jesus will meet all your needs, and He will send people to you to help meet your needs. He will bring your family in to help you in during those emotional times. He will bring friends in to help you during those emotional times where you need support. But most importantly, if you stay close to Jesus in prayer, He will meet those spiritual needs that you have. He will be closer than a brother like you've never had before. And so younger women are to love their husbands. Then younger women are to love their children. It says, to love their children. What does that mean? The older women are to teach the younger women to love their children, literally to befriend their children, to love them not only in the sacrificial and committed sense, but to enjoy their children in a friendship kind of love. That it's a blessing. As my wife and I, as we interacted with our kids this past week, and they just loved that. They would just open up with new things about their life to us. You know, and we're like, wow. On the way home, in the car, my wife wrote it down. Abby, she's 3, she said, I have a headache. My head hurts. I know why my head hurts. I'm missing a bone in my head. And apparently she was, in her car seat, she was feeling around her head, and she's missing a bone in her head. That's why she has a headache. And we said, okay, all right, Abby, that's very interesting. But it gave us a chuckle. But it's amazing how kids will surprise you with something new every day. Yeah. And so those times are important to befriend our children and to help support someone else who has young children. You know, just because you don't, help someone else who does. Be a friend to them. Say, hey, you know, I hear the baby crying. Hey, can I hold the baby for a little bit? You know, that does a mother a great deal of comfort when someone's actually caring for her children. That especially if she has more than one, okay, that's a blessing, and you will find great joy and reward as you then help that young mother, and introduce them to Christ, or if they're a Christian, to just show them the love of the Lord. That's a blessing, and so the older women should teach the younger women to love their children and to be that example to them. And it's hard in this day and age when a lot of younger families are just, you know, saying, okay, cell phone. Here, okay, you want a sub? Here you go. And you, here's a tablet. You know, and they and here you can entertain yourself. I don't have time for you. You know, and the world is younger people in the world are constantly saying, I need me time. Time just for myself. Who is clamoring for that? That's not the Holy Spirit in us saying, I need me time. That's the world and the flesh saying, oh, you just need to be selfish and do your own thing. Let your child just raise herself with the cell phone or with the tablet. You know, that's not of God. Our children don't need to be taught by something that is going to be very destructive to them, and there could be many things on there that are. No, they need a parent. They need a loving parent who will say, hey, I love you. Give me a hug. Hey, no, don't do that. That's discipline. And yes, you can do this. Okay? And support them. Okay? So we need that in today's day and age. We need families who will love their children, and specifically younger women who will love their children, the mom of the home. Sometimes children will come back to parents with the same tone of voice they hear from them. If they hear abusive, disrespectful tones of voice, they'll respond in kind. But if they hear a mother who responds appropriately, lovingly, caringly, and respectfully, they'll hear that back someday. It's difficult to break the cycle of sarcastic insults, but it is possible. With God, all things are possible. Let's not demean, belittle children. Let's not be sarcastic with them. Let's love them and teach them. Certainly a young mother and father bear the authority of raising their children in discipline, but they also ought to give strong support. A healthy home is a home where both discipline and support are practiced, not either one by itself. A home with discipline only is simply authoritarian. On the other hand, a home with just support is permissive. Okay, let's open it up. What are some good ways to love your children? Younger as well as older ladies, what are some good ways to love your children and your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews? Yes.
Not popular today, but to spank them in love.
That's right. It's important to give the rod of correction upon the seat of learning. As it says in the Bible, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. That's what it says in the Bible. Not popular in society today, but you... It's interesting. Everywhere we go as a family, you know, people always say, oh, your kids are so good. Oh, they sat down on the chair and they stayed seated the whole 45 minutes you were at the restaurant. Or the whole, you know, wherever we are, they're staying right by you. Wow, how are your kids so good? See, they praise the effects of discipline, but they don't want to tell you to do what is necessary to get it. And what is necessary to get that? Discipline. Okay? Not just the discipline of Johnny, time out. No, Johnny, time out teaches Johnny that if he throws a fit loud enough and long enough, eventually he can stop getting timeouts. And eventually mom will just cover her ears and say, oh, I don't want to do that again. Okay? No, Johnny needs more than a timeout. Johnny, especially with firmer passions, like myself when I was younger, they need the rod of correction upon the seat of learning. Everyone needs it. And I, you know, when I was little, I used to say, oh, Dad, you don't love me. You're doing this to me. And he'd say, Jeremy, I love you so much. That's why I'm doing it. And now I look back and say, you know, Dad, you should have given me more. You know, I appreciated all those times where he showed he loved me by correction and discipline. And you know what? As we look back, you know, we thank our parents for what they did. So what? Who are we to say, no, that's not acceptable anymore? It's in the Bible. It's been done for thousands of years. But now, in today's day and age, we don't need it anymore. That's what you call foolishness. That's what you call the world's pendulum swing. Remember, they're always swinging. The world's always swinging from one extreme to the other extreme. Last generation, it might have been more discipline. Well, this generation, what is it? They're literally, the pendulum has swung so far, it's falling off the pendulum. To just support your child and befriend your child and love them to the point where everything they do, affirm it. Even if it's bad, just put them for a time out. But affirm it anyway. Well, literally, what are we doing? The world that we're literally saying, you can behave any way you want and you will be fine. And then when they grow up and they hit 20 and they're out on their own and 22, they're finding out they're not fine. That sin and sinful choices have consequences. Like, I just lost my job because I was sinful. Like, I just, now I don't have an income because I was sinful. Like, I just now gave someone a baby because I was sinful. Okay, so all those things are now consequences because of lack of discipline when they're younger. So don't listen to the world's pendulum swing, because it's always going to say something else the next day or the next year. So we've got to listen. You say, well, what can we go by if we can't listen to the world? Well, that's a great question that leads to a great answer. The Word of God. God's Word has been around since the beginning of time, and it will continue to be around for ages of eternity in the future. When God destroys this heaven and earth in 1,007 years, well, after the 1,000-year millennial kingdom and after the 7-year tribulation, then the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, guess what? The Word of God will still be in vogue, will still be read, will still be lived by and loved. Why? Because it's eternal. As silver tried in a furnace, purified 7 times. You can always trust the Bible and its principles. So discipline your children. Give them that good attention to their seat of learning, because they need it. We all need it. We all needed it when we were younger. Why? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's what it says in Proverbs. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That literally the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Okay, now to the next thing. Women are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Look to your purple sheet here. There's some really nice things on here. How is a woman in today's day and age to maintain an identity of modesty? How are women, younger women, to... why is it important to be modest and to identify as a Christian the way one dresses? A famous movie star her husband had a claim of coming to Christ recently. And this movie star, who dressed horrible all the time, very modestly, she now says, I'm not going to dress that way anymore because, you know, it just doesn't befit someone who claims Christ. But it's interesting, you know, whether they're truly saved, only the Lord knows. But it's interesting that people recognize, hey, if you're going to say you're a Christian, you better start dressing like a Christian. Okay? And sure enough, we see, it says that right in the Bible, 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, we read of this principle. Let's go over one book, 1 Timothy, two books, back to the left from Titus. Keep your bookmark there in Titus. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. What does modest apparel mean? Clothes that are covering the body. With shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Okay, so what does God want women to put on? Modest apparel and good works. That's the beauty of the Christian woman. That is literally the attractiveness of a Christian woman, a Christian young lady, Christian older lady. Doesn't matter. God wants you to continue every day to put on the beauty of modest apparel and good works. That is what is beautiful. You know what? Even the world thinks that's beautiful. Even the world values that. Why? Because they see good works. They see a young lady that's dignified. They see an older lady that's respectable, that's dignified, and representing Christ, and they even value it. People on your job will value it. People in your neighborhood will value it. Wherever you go, people will value your modest apparel and your good works. Why? Because that is what is truly beautiful in 2020. You say, well, wait, I thought the world valued immodesty and indecency. Well, yeah, they value that only when they want to. You know, only when they want to value that. You realize there's a shelf life for that. Okay? Immodest clothing. There's a shelf life. Yes, as you're going into Atlantic City, as you're in Atlantic City at night, and it's party night, Friday night or Saturday night, yeah, they value it then. But then, workday world, do they value it? No, not as much. They say, don't wear that at work because we don't want to get sued because some man is coming on to you. Okay, so they say, dress modestly at work. But then at night, oh, yeah, you could, you're being decent. See, the world has a short shelf life for what they say is popular and what you should do. That's why the Word of God needs to be our what we should follow. The Word of God, you are safe every day putting on modest apparel and good works. There's no expiration date on that shelf life. Why? Because women, younger women especially, and older women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. Why? With shamefacedness and sobriety. Realizing that God made you special. God made you different than men. Men are different. Men are the workers. Men are the strength. There's strength in a man. There's the labor in the man. God made men to work and to have their mindsets always on, okay, what project should I do next? What should I accomplish today? What should I do? And they feel very fulfilled when they're doing their task. Men are task-minded. Women are more relationship-minded. God made us totally different. And God made women relationship-minded for a reason, so that they could take care of their family, so that they could take care of the people that God put in their life, so they could be sensitive to their needs, and they could take care of the needs in their life. So God made women very special. And realize that. And don't treat it like it's as something I don't really care about. And don't treat it as pearls before swine, but treat your femininity with dignity, with shamefacedness and sobriety. That's literally realizing, hey, God made me to look pretty. When I dress myself, I can look pretty and feminine and attractive, but I'm not going to take advantage of that in the world's eyes. That the world tries to take advantage of the woman by making them look like a piece of property and not like the child of God that they are. That you know, God put you in this world to look feminine and beautiful, but with a dignity that only God can give. Not to look like someone who the world will take advantage of, use, abuse, and then throw out when they're done. Sadly, that's what's happening today. The young ladies that are listening to the internet, listening to the their peers, their friends on YouTube or Instagram and all these other chat things and photo apps, they're finding out that, you know what, people only want to look at something for a little while, but then they move on to the next. That's what happens when you give yourself up in a cheap way to have just some attention. It won't last. But what will last every day for the rest of your life is right here in 1 Timothy 2:9-10, young ladies and older ladies, I especially encourage you, memorize these verses so you can be reminded day after day to put this on. Put on modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, but with good works. That put on those good works every day. Put on that dignified child of God apparel. And you know what? People will value you, respect you, and they will want to enjoy your presence every day. Why? Because you are treating your body the way it should be treated. You're treating it with respect from God. And that's the beautiful thing. That's how to be a beautiful woman from the moment you hit your teen years all the way up. That's how to be a beautiful woman, all the way up to 120, to do this simple paradigm that God gives in His Word. The world wants to use and abuse women. The world wants what it's after. And then later on, when that didn't work, remember the pendulum swing? In the 80s and 90s, they thought of women as, less, and then all of a sudden in the 2000s and the 2010s, what happened? A ton of lawsuits. Now all of a sudden, what are they thinking? We got to value women, more. Well, what happened? Well, because the world did not value the Word of God, and it's how it should value women. No, the world valued its own wisdom, its own worldly philosophy. and thus that's why they're in the predicament they're in. And so thus it's always the right thing to value the Word of God and to do it. So young women are to be discreet. What is that word? The word chaste means pure. Okay, that modesty means behaving according to a standard of what is proper or decent and pure, especially not displaying one's body. Some people have a problem with modesty. They do not dress in an orderly, decent, and pure way. In fact, we live in a nation that is undressing in public. But we must also consider identity. There should be no problem recognizing a person for his or her identity. Men should look and dress like men. Ladies should look and dress like ladies. That God has set us on high as His holy standard for His people. In Leviticus chapter 18, God gives certain high holy standards for His people because His people are to be a witness to others. In Leviticus 19:2, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Our standard is not the world's standards. There must be a people in this generation who will say, "We are God's people. God has set a holy standard for us. We are not pleasing to God by being a little better, just a little better than the world." Living the Christian life must start in the heart with our devotion to Jesus Christ. Nothing we do outwardly makes us spiritual. Everything we do outwardly should come out of a desire to live a holy life and a holy walk with God. Okay, so the world values the sensual. God values the whole person. You realize that? The world only values at times one part of you. God values the whole you. Okay? And so we should dress in God's standards. It goes for men as well. I'm seeing a lot of younger men wearing things they shouldn't be wearing as well. So it's not just for ladies. In fact, next week we'll be addressing the younger men. So I encourage you, bring a man with you. Bring someone you know. As we look at younger men. And what they should do, there's a good article in the Sword of the Lord this week, How to Rule Your Own Eye. That's for men. How to rule our own eye. That all through the Bible we have the rule of the eye. And Job said, "I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" He made a covenant with his eyes before God. "God, I'm not going to look at any woman that's dressed improperly. I'm going to turn away from them, and I'm going to keep myself from my wife only." And that's the rule of the eye, according to the Bible. Joseph did that with Potiphar's wife. She acted like, as worldly women do. She said, "Oh, you know, it's no big deal for me. I'm married to Potiphar, but I can have Joseph too." And so she dressed in a seductive way, and she said, "Joseph, lie with me. Joseph, lie with me. It's just us alone in the house." And she did this many days. And Joseph said, "No." And then one day, when everyone was not in the house and no one was around, she caught him by his coat, literally to entrap him, perhaps in a part of the house, at a bedroom or something. And she said, "Joseph, lie with me." And he said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin before God? I will not do it." And he left his coat in her hand and ran out. He got out. That's what we need in this generation. We need to young people who are different. Why? Because they need to see Christ in us. They need to see the hope. For a person who's going through the cycle of lust, going through the cycle of pornography, going through the cycle of immorality, going from one man or one woman to another, and going through that cycle, and then when they look at us, what do they need to see in us? People doing the same sins? No, they need to see the hope of change in us. They need to see us having victory in our Christian lives and us and saying, "No, you don't have to do that. Hey, come on over to Christ. Christ will save your soul. He'll get you out of that cesspool of that pit of debauchery, and He will set your feet on a solid rock. And He will make life every day worth living. He'll give you a joy and an inner satisfaction in you that you have never known before." And sure enough, that's what Christ does. Christ sets free from the debauchery of the sin in this world. So I'd encourage young ladies, you can look up more of these scriptures. There's a lot of neat things in here. I know my wife really likes to talk about this. And so if you have any questions, please see her. See some of the members here in the church.
and they'll be happy to talk with you further about chaste, being chaste, be about modesty, or about any other issues, how to communicate in this 21st century, especially with boys always unsaved boys doing things that are wrong before God. And so we will be happy to answer your questions. So finally, we see Titus 2, verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, morally pure, then to be discreet. The word discreet means self-controlled, wise, sober, temperate, discreet. Okay, that one who is one that wants the will of God for her life and does it with her whole heart. Chaste means to be morally pure. And then there to be keepers at home. Verse 5. To be keepers at home. What does that mean? Literally a combination of two words in the Greek language. House and guard. Refers to one who guards the house, cares for the house, or the cares for the needs of the house. In other words, a young woman is to care for the needs of her family. Her family is fed. Her family is clothed. Her family is loved. Sometimes a woman needs to work outside the home. The Bible does not appear to condemn this as long as she continues to meet the needs of her family in the process. To be keepers at home. Okay, it doesn't mean you can't work, but make sure the home is taken care of. Make sure the home, the children, their needs are met. Make sure the husband's needs are met. And the husband then has a responsibility to make sure everyone in his house is provided for. And he's to work. He that doesn't work doesn't eat, Paul says. Okay? That's good. That's what they did back in the early times. Actually slavery didn't really come to Jamestown until they were there from 1607 to 1614. That's when the first ship of about 20 slaves came. But before that, they had no slavery. And it wasn't until 1660 that slavery was actually looked down upon, and it was something that was not acceptable. But as the tobacco plantations kept getting bigger and bigger, that's when these selfish merchants were then wanting to use slavery. And so we see that as they abided by God's principles, those who did, they were blessed. Those who didn't were cursed. And we see that the very first thing, the first rule, when they came over on the boats to settle this colony, the very first rule is he who doesn't work doesn't eat. And if you don't go to church in the morning and late afternoon, you don't get food either. That's a pretty strong statement. Okay, if you want to eat today, you're going to go to church in the morning, and you're going to go to church in the late afternoon. And then if you want food, well, you better be in church on Sunday, too. Okay, and so we complain about going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but, you know, they had to do it all the time. And that's literally what kept them going when they literally, everything was against them. That literally they had to forage and guard themselves and try to make a new living in the colony, etc. But that's what God says. He who doesn't work doesn't eat. And that's what we need to realize, that in the Christian life, we need to be hard workers for our families, hard workers at home. And you ask God, and God will give you a place to serve, a place to work. He will help you to be profitable to community. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word this morning. We thank you for the clear injunctions from the Scripture, how to navigate this crazy, confused world and corrupt society as a Christian. Lord, we know that we are facing many, many obstacles in this path, but we know that your word will get us through, and that prayer, depending on you in prayer, will get us through. Lord, we thank you that you have put the Holy Spirit in us to convict us when we sin, and then to show us the path of the good way, the right way, through the Word of God, to teach us, as He is our teacher as well. Lord, help us to listen. This morning, as we heard things perhaps that stepped on our toes, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to do what is right and to give over those sinful areas to you and to get help, Lord. If help is needed, Lord, that that they would seek out accountability, Lord, that they would seek out that parent, that guardian, trusted elder that would be able to help them in any area of habitual weakness, Lord. We thank you that you are a God of order and that you are a God of love. In Jesus' name, amen. And I ask Brother Jerry to come.
If you're turning your hymnals, please, to page, and the blue hymnal, to page 567. 567 in the blue hymnal. We stand and sing together.
Evening service, Pastor Logan challenges us with 2020 vision tonight. We look forward to that.